So Lord, we pray as we lift up our voices to you and our hearts to you, that you, God, come and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves this morning. I know many of us come in with different barriers or burdens of our heart, and Lord, I ask that you help us to give these burdens to you, for you to heal them, for you to purify them, for you to transform us. And we pray, Holy Spirit, come. Open our hearts, open our minds to something that you may want to speak to us this morning. We ask this in the name of our mighty Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, church family. It is so good to be with you guys today. We're currently in a series called Reconnect, which is corresponding with the season of Lent that we are in. It's a time of reconnection with God and with one another. That's really what the season of Lent is about. And this is coming after a series where we talked about the importance of God being our satisfaction. That God is the only one who truly satisfies us. God is the one who gives us the best life. And we want to reconnect. We want to continue to grow closer to the Lord. And last week we talked about arguably one of the most crucial words that helps with this endeavor. And I really do believe that once you know and apply this word to your life, it will fundamentally change everything about your life. And that word is surrender. Surrender is such an important word. It is, I think, in a lot of ways, a bedrock to the spiritual life with God. Because we, on our own, as much as we might try to fix ourselves or fix our own problems, we need the power of God to come and do for us what we can't do for ourselves. In some ways, I think this series is really a commentary, or it's all based around surrender, because surrender is so important. But I think for many of us, surrender can be a scary thing. And one of the reasons I think it can be scary is because if we see surrender primarily as a self-denial, a denial of the things that we want to do in our lives, the things that we think will bring happiness to us, maybe some of us have a level of a fear of missing out. What if my life is going to be worse if I let go of the things that I want to do and the things I enjoy doing? There's an acronym or a word for this now, FOMO, the fear of missing out. 70% of Americans struggle with FOMO. I would say I am one of those numbers. I think oftentimes, especially whenever I had social media, and I could see like get-togethers of my friends happening, and I wasn't there. And I was like, oh my goodness, like the crippling feeling of, I wish I was there and I missed out on all this fun and blah, 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 blah. Or we can feel like we're missing out on a lot of the trends of life, fashion trends. I could have been making so much more money if I just did this like 20 years ago. Or I think FOMO is the fuel for a lot of midlife crises, truly, where it's like, man, I only have so much more life to live, and I haven't lived it up, so I'm going to buy a motorcycle and drive for hours and hours and hours or whatever, right? FOMO fuels, I think, a lot of the decisions we make. And if we choose the path of surrender, it may make us fear, what am I going to miss out on if I deny myself? However, I think that fear can come from an incomplete view of surrender. Because surrender is not just about self-denial. It's not just self-denial and stopping there. That's called quitting. Surrender is a little bit different. Surrender is not just self-denial, it's also yielding to another's will. And we do this often. We yield to professionals. We yield to experts. If a doctor, at least maybe we should yield to experts. If a doctor says, hey, you probably should stop eating this or you're gonna die, probably should listen to that. There's a level of expertise in terms of health. Or if we go to a car mechanic, and they're like, hey, this part is screwed up and we really need to fix this. We oftentimes will listen to that advice. I think surrendering to some people is helpful. However, it is possible to deny yourself and yield to another's will that is unhelpful or destructive or volatile or toxic. You put the adjective there. You have to be mindful of the one you yield to, because whatever we yield to is going to be a source that is filling us with a perception of reality or truth claims. But we, as followers of Jesus, know and believe the best kind of surrender is yielding to Jesus. We can talk a lot about the emptying aspect of surrender, the self-denial part of surrender, which is extremely important. We talked about that a good bit last week. But we also need to talk about the filling aspect of surrender. Because I do think FOMO could be a good thing. But it's not FOMO that we might experience in our fleshly self and looking at the world around us. It's FOMO in regards to what might I be missing out on if I don't yield my life and my will to Jesus? Because in yielding to Jesus, we experience a satisfaction, to quote a popular Christian song, that makes the rest of the world grow strangely dim. Whenever we see Jesus in his majesty and his beauty, the other things that we can be so concerned about, and we make the priority of our lives, begin to lose their luster a little bit. Or to use some of the language of Jesus, he says, those who lose their lives for my sake will find their lives, will save their lives. Or I think about, he says, come to me. This is the invitation from our Lord. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Do those words sound like you this morning? Weary and heavy laden. Jesus is asking you, come to me, and I will give you rest. The way of Jesus, he's wanting to give us rest. He says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. In John chapter 10, Jesus says that he has come to give us life to the full, to its fullest measure. He has come to give us the abundant life. And what we see time and time again in the Gospels is people, whenever they have these encounters, these moments with Jesus, they walk away feeling changed. They walk away rejoicing. They walk away telling everybody, look at what this man has done. I'm free. I was blind, but now I see. You see this time and time again with Jesus. In yielding to the will of Jesus, we experience that kind of inexpressible peace and joy. Because when we yield to Jesus and when we're yielding to the ways of God, what we are allowing ourselves to be filled with are the ways of God. And the ways of God are the things that are the best things in life. And the reason that's the case is because God is the creator. God made everything. He knows the ins and outs of the universe. He knows why and how things tick. He knows the who, what, when, where, and why of everything that exists. He is the source of truth entirely. So when we're yielding to the way of God, we are yielding to ultimately what is best for us. We're yielding to what leads to the best possible life because he knows what leads to the best possible life. We don't. We do not know for ourselves what leads us to the best flourishing life. And he also knows the dangers of yielding to a different will, of yielding to a will that is not his. I love the proverb that says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. I would say there are a lot of different ways that may seem right to us in our time. A lot of that can be internal, things that we think are best for ourselves that end up actually being unhelpful or destructive. And oftentimes, that corresponds to whatever the greatest dopamine hit is or whatever is going to lead us to having the greatest status in the eyes of other people. But we're also fed a lot of different other ways from influencers. And I'm not just saying like social media influencers, so that's part of it, but people who are actively trying to influence our thoughts and the ways that we think and how we see the world. That does look like social media. That does look like news stations. That does look like the entertainment we consume that normally is always trying to be emotionally manipulative in some way to try to make you have some sort of belief or view that they're trying to share with you. It could be your friends, right? There's that famous saying, you are the sum of your five closest friends. Who we choose to surround ourselves with is vitally, vitally important. And sometimes the sources we surround ourselves can help us, but oftentimes they don't. But any other source that we might choose to yield to, if it is taking priority over yielding to the way of Jesus, we're ultimately going to find that dissatisfying at some point. We're going to find it lacking. And over time, I think we'll find it deforming for our character and who we are, because how we're filled affects how we're formed. How we are filled, what we choose to consume, fill our minds and our hearts with, affects how we're formed, affects who we become, affects the kind of life, the quality of life that we have. As many of you know, I used to be a famous rapper. And when I say that, I'm not talking about Christmas presents, in case you were thinking that route. I was a famous rapper. I was the number 19 top rapper in Kansas City for a brief moment. But nonetheless, that was an ambition of mine. That was a goal of mine. But what got me into being a rapper was listening to a lot of rap music. And you guys know the rap with rap music, right? Not the best content, oftentimes. And I listened to a ton of it. And I'll be honest, the content was absolute garbage that I was feeding myself with. And I would listen to all the youth group talks and stuff, like, oh, what you listen to and what you watch greatly affects you. And I'm like, whatever, you don't know anything. And turns out those talks were right for multiple reasons. One, whenever I stopped listening to that garbage and started listening to stuff that had more positive content, and especially Christian music, it's amazing how much more of a positive person I became. Whoa, is there a correlation? I don't know. But even this last week, I overheard someone saying a bit from a rap song that I knew. And they weren't like reciting the song, but the lyrics matched up. And my mind immediately triggered, and I thought about the rest of the song. And I was like kind of going through it in my head, and it was still in me. And the content of it was horrible. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a decade and a half later from when I first heard this song. And it is still so deeply ingrained in me. I don't want my mind to be thinking about that stuff. I want to live a life like Philippians 4 talks about. I want to focus on whatever is good and whatever is noble and the things and the ways of God. But what we fill ourselves with form us. And I think we experience this in a lot of different ways. If we listen to the news all the time and they're talking about murders and wars and these awful atrocities all the time, if that is what we are filling ourselves with, it's going to make us more fearful, more anxious, more antagonistic towards each other, more desensitized whenever these horrible things do happen. I know that's been true for me. Oftentimes I've listened to the local news and it's like, oh, there's another murder. Okay, well. But it's like, no, this is horrible. This grieves God's heart, but we've become so desensitized to it. Or I think about whenever we fill ourselves with many of the influencers that we follow on social media, the ones who seem like their lives are all polished and perfect. If we fill ourselves with that, what we start realizing is we kind of feel like a failure. My life does not measure up to that at all. I mean, we can get envious really quickly of like, wow, I would love to have the life that you seem to have on paper, or at least on the surface. That looks amazing. The more we tolerate sin in our minds and in our hearts, the more we consume things that are not helpful for us, the more that we are ultimately going to become calloused to sin and start drifting away from the will of God. How we're filled affects how we're formed. And if that's true, which I would be shocked if any of you could make a solid case that says that that is not true, if that is true and simultaneously, if yielding to or being filled with the way of Jesus brings about the best possible life, what ought that mean for us practically? Jesus was a masterful teacher, is a masterful teacher still. And one of the sections of Scripture that is just so chock filled with wisdom is the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, it is one of the most magnificent periods, chunks of teaching that has ever been made, arguably that has ever been made. But in Matthew chapter 6, near the end of Matthew chapter 6, he's talking about how we should not worry about a lot of the things that we do worry about in life. And he talks about like basic fundamental needs of food and what we're going to drink and the clothes that we're going to wear. He says, don't worry about those things. And he gives examples of God taking care of the birds of the air and God taking care of the flowers of the field. And if God takes care of lesser creatures, how much more will he take care of you, his prized creation? But it says this in verse 31, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. These are the priorities of people who are not disciples of Jesus. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33, so important. But seek first, as the foremost priority, his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. All these things being the things that are necessary for us to live a flourishing good life. That's not necessarily every good thing that we could possibly ever ask or want from God, but the things that are the most important for us living the good life. If we are seeking first, if the priority, if the aim, of the goal of our lives is to follow after the way of Jesus and to seek the way of Jesus, then we will find. That's what he says in the next chapter, in Matthew chapter 7. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Whenever we seek the Lord, we will find. God rewards the seeking heart. In the words of Jeremiah, he says, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. A wholehearted seeking. There is something proportional regarding the extent in which we seek the Lord and how much we find from the Lord. How much of the good life we can experience. And what does it mean to seek the Lord with our whole hearts? What does that look like in our lives? Maybe you've heard the common Christian prescription. You just need to pray more and read your Bible more. Maybe some of you have had that. Maybe some of you have tried it, and it's not been necessarily the thing that has unlocked a lot of things for you. Maybe you feel like you don't have the space and time and energy to add another thing to your already busy life. But this, what I'm talking about, is not just setting aside time to pray more and read your Bible more. However, I will say there's a reason that's a Christian prescription. Because I think it's impossible to fully know and walk in the ways of God without knowing who God is in Scripture. I think it's impossible to walk in fellowship with God without having a good prayer life and having good connection with God. These are great practices. But what I'm talking about is not necessarily thinking of your life as a list of tasks to add to your life. Seeking God is not just adding more to do, it's a heart posture. It is a self-denial of our time. It's a self-denial of our mental energies and being filled with a holy curiosity and a holy hunger for what God wants for our lives. Whether you work every day, a long 12-hour shift of work and you have minimal free time, or you're someone that has all the free time in the world, we all can live a seeking with our whole heart kind of life. And that can look like the typical practices. That can look like surrendering and asking God to reveal himself to you in Scripture. That can look like a really beautiful, vibrant life of prayer. I think that's both of those are necessary. I would say another really fantastic practice that is surrender in and of itself is fasting. I am so bad at fasting, it's crazy. But I prefer to follow Jesus in the more he goes from one meal to the next kind of way as opposed to the fasting. But fasting is a self-denial. It is a starving your flesh to feed your spirit, to feed your communion with God. But what I'm talking about is not necessarily just all these tasks and practices, but it's really what Dallas Willard calls the with God life. A retraining of our brain to pray, not my will, but your will be done. And to ask whenever we walk into a room, Lord, where are you right now? Where do you want me to be? How can I be the hands and feet of Jesus right now in this room, in this context? How can we remember to surrender every morning when we wake up and pray the prayer, Lord, I want to bring honor to your name today. Give me eyes to see how I can do that. It's those kinds of things. And hearing a sermon that's really talking about the importance of being filled with the ways of God, I think it can make some kind of want to tune out because we know how busy we are. And it's like, that just seems so impractical. There's no way that I can add anything else to my life. However, guys, human beings, we've had the same amount of time that we've always had. Actually, I would argue we probably have more time in this age and era than we ever have before in human history. There are so many things for us that are automated that we don't even have to worry about anymore. Like, we don't have to go outside and chop down a tree for the sake of wood and electricity just for the means of survival. We can flip a light switch and hit a button on a thermostat, right? We have more time. And beyond that, we also have more resources than ever to grow closer to God. There is a wealth of information that you can find on the internet that can help you grow closer to God. There are tons of resources and tools. So many opportunities. What I believe, our reluctance to seek God isn't a matter of busyness. It's a matter of prioritization. That is what Lent is about. It's a practice of surrender and a practice of seeking the Lord. Are we really going to one day face Jesus? Because we will. We're going to give an account of our lives. That's what Scripture says, and I believe what the Bible says. If we're going to give an account to Jesus, are we really going to look at Jesus and be like, you know, I would have loved to have done more for you. I would have loved to have lived a surrendered life, but you know, I was so busy. I had all these other things that really were important that I had to do. Is that what we're going to tell the Lord of the universe, the one who gave us breath in our lungs and made time itself? There is so much that is out of our control in life. There are seasons that are very busy. There are seasons where we are experiencing so much pain and hardship that it makes it impossible feeling for us to get out of bed sometimes. I'm sympathetic to all those things. But no matter how we are feeling, surrendering to Jesus as Lord should never take a back seat in our lives. How it may look is different depending on the season that we find ourselves in. But the seeking, that heart posture needs to persist. And we see from Matthew 6 today that the things that we're often really concerned about, the things that we worry about so much, God's like, hey, I'm not going to let those things slide. The things that you really need for the best life for you will be given to you if you seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, if we seek God first, we will have all we need for the good life. I fully believe that. I have experienced that in my life. We may not get every good thing we want. We may not get our whole task list or the things that we want God to do for us accomplished. But we will not lack what is needed for the best possible life. Whenever we seek God first, there's not much more room for FOMO, at least in the ways that we've thought about it. I do believe there is room for FOMO of what will I miss out on, or what might I be missing out on now because of me being distracted from yielding to your way, Jesus. That's my FOMO these days. And part of that stems from what I know to be true in Romans 8, that God works all things out for our good. That even the things that are hard in our lives, or whenever we maybe get a no or a not yet from God, I can trust and know that he is working things for my good. And that gives a sense of peace. You may find a statement like this one on the screen hard to believe. Maybe you feel like you've lived your life as a Christian. You've gone to church, you've done all the churchy things, and yet you still haven't really found your purpose. Or you still haven't found that healing that you've been wanting or have been praying for someone else about. Or maybe you feel like you still haven't found your significant other or your friend group or a lot of the heart cries that we have. There are many things I'm sure many of us feel like we lack. I have been there. I will say I will probably keep returning there, where I'm like, man, God, I would really love for you to show up in this way. One example of that has been the times where I have prayed to God, Lord, if you just let my team win this game, I will give everything for you. I will sell my possessions. I will live boldly for Jesus, blah, blah, blah. I never follow through on my end of that. And whenever my team loses, it's like a faith-shaking experience. Like, God, do you even hear? Right? More seriously, though, there have been so many times in my life where I'm like, God, I just want to experience you. I just want to know you like a friend. I want to experience this peace and this joy that it seems like so many other people talk about and see. And it seemed like God wasn't bringing what I was asking, and I know it is frustrating whenever you feel like you keep getting a no to your prayer, or not yet. However, it may be that God's purpose and God's will for our lives is far bigger and greater than any of the plans that we have for ourselves. And thank God he tells us no. Could you imagine how terrible the world would be if God said yes to every one of our prayers? It would be horrible because we don't know what we really want. We don't know what's actually going to lead to the greatest good or to the good of humanity. But maybe God is preparing you for something even greater than what you could ever imagine. And also in my life, whenever I've wanted to experience more of God and more of his peace, what I've noticed is my seeking was a side thing at best. It was not a wholehearted seeking of the Lord. I may have confessed that Jesus was Lord of my life, but my actions and lifestyle didn't really reflect it. My seeking of God looked more like, I'm gonna live exactly how I want to live my life, and then whenever things don't go well, I'm gonna ask God, please change something, and then I get frustrated when it doesn't happen. That was the extent of my seeking for a large part of my life. It was half-hearted. But the times in my life when I have surrendered, when I have fully emptied, when I've laid my life down, as we sang about this morning, or whenever my life has been laid down for me oftentimes, or I've been humbled, and in those moments when I've yielded to, Lord, whatever you want for my life, God, whatever you want, it is in those moments that God has consistently done his best work in my life. And that's often why I think many people do not start seeking the Lord as a first priority until they reach a state of desperation, until they reach a state of rock bottom and they've exhausted all of their other options and there is nowhere else to turn. And that is whenever oftentimes people start seeking the Lord as a first priority, and they oftentimes find. Whenever I have truly yielded to the way of Jesus, I have consistently experienced the peace and joy of God just wash over me. I experience it frequently, and I haven't found anything like that in my life. As I have sought the Lord with my whole heart, I can testify. I have found. It's amazing that Scripture's true. I think many of us want Jesus to work like we're scratching off tickets trying to win the lottery. We want to do the absolute minimal amount of effort to have the greatest reward for God to come do something amazing for us. But from my experience, Jesus doesn't work like winning the lottery necessarily, apart from sheer grace. Seeking Jesus is like searching for buried treasure. Sometimes you can just throw your shovel somewhere and you find treasure. That's great. But oftentimes it requires a lot of digging. And what I found is the more that I have dug, the more that I kept seeking the Lord, the more I have kept finding this beautiful treasure. And the more I keep seeing that there's even more, and there's even more, and there's even more. That's the beautiful thing about God. The more that you seek him, the more you find. The more you experience of the good life, you will never exhaust the riches of God. There's so much there. And in this process, what I've really found is God is the reward. Fellowship with God. Friendship with God, as we were talking about during communion today. Friendship with God, to walk in fellowship and close proximity with God, to be filled with the Spirit, that God, the one who made the universe, is dwelling within us and walks in that close of fellowship with us. That is the reward. And there is so much joy and freedom in walking in that. I love the song that we were singing, Nothing Else, today. I just want you and nothing else. It's not about the things that God can give us. God himself is the reward. And I've also found what Matthew 6 is true, what it says, that whenever I have sought the Lord as a first priority, God does provide all the other things I need. And I think a lot of the times he told me no was out of a lot of wisdom. I pray we as a church realize this morning that how we are filled affects how we're formed. And we want to be formed into the way of Jesus. Amen? We want to walk down the path that leads to unending rest and joy and peace. And I pray that we realize this. I pray that, church, in knowing that that's on the table this morning, that that level of peace and joy is available for you in your life today. I pray that that fills us with an insatiable hunger and an unending desire to seek the Lord with our whole heart, knowing that whenever we seek the Lord, we will find, and what we are filled with is the best possible life. So let's let today be a day of surrender, that we may be filled with the heart of God. I'm going to encourage our prayer team to go ahead and move through the room. And this is a wonderful opportunity to get prayer for all the kinds of things that are going on in your life. And maybe it's a prayer of surrender today. Maybe you're asking for God to come and do for you what you in your own effort have not been able to achieve for yourself. It's a great thing to pray about. Maybe you want to celebrate today. Maybe you're grieving or mourning. You want prayers for healing, whatever it is. I encourage you to pray with our team around the room. I encourage you to make your requests known with the blue prayer cards in front of you. If you fill that out and put it in the bins in the front and back, we will be praying over you this week and praying for breakthrough, because I believe that can happen. We serve the God who has done so many amazing miracles, and he can do another one for you. I'm going to ask all of us to go ahead and stand as we turn with our hearts open to the Lord. I'm going to ask if you're comfortable to put your hands out in front of you in a receiving posture. Lord, I pray this morning, in this moment, help us to identify a few things. Maybe it's one thing, maybe it's several. Identify some of the things that we have been filling our lives with that have been bearing fruit in really disastrous ways in our life. Speak into us now. Maybe it's attachments of some kind. Maybe it's a secret addiction. Maybe it's some form of screen time. Maybe it's our work. Lord, whatever it is that is getting in the way of us surrendering our lives to you, I pray in the name of Jesus that you remove those things. Give us a heart posture that is deeply desiring of you. I pray, Lord, in this moment, that you give us an insatiable hunger for you and your way. Lord, give us a holistic allegiance. Give us a heart that wants to seek you in all that we do. Lord, I pray this week, you give us a vision of what our lives could be. You help us to see the flourishing life that is on the table with you today. Lord, maybe give us one or two ways. Maybe it's a practice. Maybe it's a new rhythm you want us to establish that we can take the baby steps of growing closer to you and growing a hunger for you. But Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, where there is apathy in our hearts, that you rip that apart. Where there is doubt, where there is fear, where there is anxiety about surrendering to your way, I pray that you eradicate that in the name of Jesus. Lord, fill us with your life. Fill us with your Spirit. And let us experience the unending peace and joy that only you can provide us. We submit this to you, Lord. We surrender to you this morning. Come and do what we cannot do for ourselves. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.